Today is our last sermon for our Exodus series. We have been on this series for 4 months. If you have read the Bible from cover to cover, or you have tried, I've tried many times and quite a few times, I didn't get out of Exodus, you know. I started from Genesis and then in Exodus, and then I was still stuck there, you know, and then never got out of it. But we pray, our prayer is that we will get out of Exodus. Okay, today we will get out of Exodus. Today's sermon series, title is God with a Long Nose, the Shadow of Glory. I know what is in your mind, okay? Because when I first received this title from Pastor Isaac, I had some images in my mind. Okay, those images are all not correct, okay? Not correct. Whatever it is, okay? Whatever is in your mind, those images, they are not correct. I was thinking to myself, what a prank, you know, Pastor Isaac. But cannot be. So I went to read the text before I talked to him. I went to read the text. And I researched the phrase in Exodus chapter 34, verse 6. And it's the phrase for slow to anger in Hebrew is Irak Afahim. Irak Afahim. What is Irak Afahim? Irak Afahim is literally long of nose. Long of nose. Why is God described as long of nose? And that is why the sermon title, God with a Long Nose. Very, very creative. Have you ever seen someone's face turn red because they are angry? Again, some images may come to mind, okay? Not correct, I'm not correct. But when you see people angry with their face red, and their nose get hot very quickly, God is the opposite. God's anger is slow, and therefore his nose is long. Slow to anger means that he is patient. In Exodus chapter 34 to 40, that's the text that we have today, sixth chapter. I was quite tempted to just read the six chapters and call it the sermon. But today got business meeting, so cannot do that. In those six chapters, we will see how God's long suffering and his patience and his glorious presence shape his relationship with his covenanted people, Israel, and including us. We are today's God's covenanted people. So first of all, the long nose of God, which describes his patient mercy. Exodus 34, verse 6 to 7 reads like this. And he, the Lord, passed in front of Moses, and he proclaims, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious Lord, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands, and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. Yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished. He punishes the children and their children for the sin of the parents to the third and fourth generation. These two verses is God's own proclamation about himself. You want to know me? He says, this is who I am. The Lord, the compassionate and gracious Lord, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. And then you can read for yourself, 6 and 7 again. After Israel's golden calf rebellion, God had every right to wipe them out. Have you ever had rebellion children? I see a few heads nodding. We are in the same boat. I won't tell you who is the rebellion one, but the rebellious one, but we all know what is rebellion. When someone rebels against you, especially your subordinate, in the army, you don't try doing that because you will get charged for insubordination, right? Sometimes we feel like wiping them up. You know, there was once I was very angry and I say, if I were to be God, I was with my wife, I say, if I were to be God, all these people will be wiped out. And then you know what's her answer? You know what's her response? You are not God. Thank God I am not God. Thank God you are not God, right? If not, lightning, thunder, hailstone, the ground open, we wipe people out, or flood, or, you know. God is not like that, thank God. Because God is patient. Instead, when God knew about the rebellion, He reveals His merciful and patient character and renews His covenant when Moses went up and pleaded with Him. He renews His covenant. What does this mean? This means that when we fail God, when we sin against Him, His patience does not give up on us. His patience does not give up on us. God continues to be patient with me. When I stumble and fall, when I sin, God continues to be patient with me. God is a God of second chance, third chance, fourth chance, fifth chance. Have you experienced God's mercy and patience in your own life? Name that incident so that you remember that God is patient with you. How many times has He delivered you? Countless times. God has a track record with each one of us. God is patient. A 3-year-old boy kept misbehaving, and his mother was at her wit's end. She says, "If you don't stop it, I'm going to punish you." The grandfather was sitting nearby. He simply smiled, went over, picked up the boy, hugged him until he comes down. And then he says this, "I'm not ignoring his disobedience. I'm giving him time to realize that he is loved and that he can do better." Friends, that is how God deals with us, isn't it? When we sin, God hugs us. He carries us. And deep down inside us, we know that we are loved and we can do better. Have you ever been impatient with someone? What if God was as quick to anger as we are? Second Peter chapter 3 verse 9 reminds us, the Lord is not slow. Next slide, yeah. The Lord is not slow in keeping His promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Why is God patient? God is patient because God has a timing. He is in control. He is not slow. We may think that He is slow, But God is never slow. He is patient, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Friends, we are slow learners. God is not slow. We are the slow ones. We are slow learners. God is so patient with us, at least with me. If God is trying to teach me something, there's a lot of humor in it, you know. Because the same situation will repeat itself again and again and again until I learn the lesson. I'm the slow one. And usually these kind of situations are not pleasant situations, right? Because I think that I am the potter, you know. Other people are the clay. But the song says, change my heart, O God. I am the potter. No, you are the potter, right? Not I am the potter. You are the potter, I am the clay. Not my terms, but your terms, God. So I must quickly learn the lesson. And God is so patient. Until and unless we come to Him with repentance, the same situation will happen again and again and again. So today, if you are finding yourself in a difficult situation, learn that lesson quickly. Pray to God. Ask Him, God, what are you saying to me? What are you teaching me? What must I change? God is patient. He gives us time to repent. He is slow to anger. He is full of mercy. That is God with a long nose. God's face doesn't turn red when He's angry, but instead, He glows. Okay, He glows. And when Moses met with God, the face of Moses became radiant, and God's shadow of glory fell upon him. Moses was having a radiant face because, not because of makeup, not because you went to Takashimaya, bought some glowing cream. You know, it is because God's shadow of glory fell upon him. So that is our next point, the shadow of glory. Moses and the radiant face. Exodus chapter 34, verse 29 to 35. I will read that for us. When Moses came down from Mount Sinai after meeting God with two tablets of covenant law in his hands, he was not aware. Okay, not like Takashimaya, huh? Up in the mountain got no mirror. He was not aware that his face was radiant, because he had spoken with the Lord. When Aaron and all the Israelites saw Moses, his face was radiant and they were afraid to come near him. But Moses called to them, so Aaron and all the leaders of the community came back to him and he spoke to them. Afterward, all the Israelites came near him and he gave them all the commands the Lord had given him on Mount Sinai. When Moses finished speaking to them, he put a veil over his face. But whenever he entered the Lord's presence to speak with him, he removed the veil until he came out. And when he came out and told the Israelites what he had been commanded, they saw that his face was radiant. Then Moses would put the veil back over his face until he went in to speak with the Lord. Moses spent time with the Lord. And after spending time with the Lord, his face shone with reflected glory, with radiance, and he himself does not know it. Friends, oftentimes when God changes us, we ourselves do not know it. Manage expectation when it comes to change. That is a good leadership advice. But at the same time, it is also a very good personal advice. Why do I say that? Because we are so impatient with our own change. I want to be holy. As though, you know, I want to be holy next week, Lord. I want to be holy by tomorrow. It's just like a bride preparing for the wedding. I want to fit into that bridal gown, you know, before the wedding date. Make me a gown that is one size smaller. That is how we are, right, Christians? We want to be holy, and we are so impatient, and we get so frustrated with ourselves, and then we beat ourselves up, and we say, God, are you with me or not? Change is usually unaware to ourselves. But when you look back 10 years ago, 5 years ago, 2 years ago, 20 years ago, wow, not only your size change, your being, your character, your personality also changes. You become more and more Christ-like, isn't it? Be patient with yourself, because God is patient with you. Don't be too hard on yourselves. Sometimes being too hard on ourselves can become counterproductive. You want change so much, so quickly, that you become counterproductive. I want to lose weight, but I cannot lose 20 kilos in 1 week. I will die. Right? But I can lose half a kilo every week and be patient about it. The people were afraid when they saw a shadow of God's glory in Moses. Because Moses came down unannounced, right? He didn't know that he was glowing, right? So he came down, and then when the people saw him, the people were afraid. Friends, if you have changed, people will be afraid of you. If you meet or ever bump into an old classmate, you will know what it means. Hopefully you have changed. And then when they look at you, they say, wow, you are very different. I have that experience very often. My secondary school classmates, my primary school classmates, when they hear that I'm a pastor, they are afraid. They are awed. They say, how can that be? The most mischievous, rebellious person has now become a pastor. That is for good. But at the same time, it can also be challenging. If you have changed and you are shining in the dark, darkness will not like you. Trust me. If you want to be Christ-like in your office, it will be challenging. So young people, go for transition and ascent. Sign up for it. It will be challenging. Why? Because you are glowing with God's glory. We must learn to be a little Moses at our workplace. Continue to glow. People don't like it. That's not the end of the world. Continue to glow. Continue to be compelling. Continue to call them. Hey, let's go eat char siu rice. Let's go eat char siu rice together. Because that is what Moses did. Moses called to Aaron, come. And the leaders and the whole Israelites, they came to him, right? He was compelling. But over time, the glory of Moses faded. That's why he had to put on the veil, right? It reminds us that the old covenant was temporary. We need to be recharged. in Christ, we reflect a greater and unfading glory. When they were much younger, my children's bedroom had glow in the dark skies, stars. Glow in the dark stars on the ceiling. How many of you have that in your room or in your children's room? A few hands, good. Do you know what I mean? These are very interesting things, you know. It looks very nice at night. The darker it is, the nicer it is. During the day, these stars would absorb the light. Or when you switch on the light, it will absorb the light. And then at night, when the light is off, when it is dark, they will shine. But after a while, the stars will fade unless they are exposed to the light again. This illustrates us an important point. The more time we spend with God, the more we are charged up. The more time we spend reading the Word of God, the more we apply the Word of God in our lives, the more we are charged up. And His glory will shine through us. So we go through this cycle. Hopefully you have a rhythm or spiritual discipline built into your life. Spend time with God. Spend time with God in intimacy. Don't spend time to prepare sermon or Bible study. I know what it's like, huh? DG meeting coming. DG leader must prepare to facilitate the meeting. That is not intimacy with God. That is work. Intimacy with God means you are together with the one you love and then you just spend time. Let us reflect God's glory by being recharged. Like Moses, let your life shine with God's presence. Question for our consideration is this: are we charged up in God's presence? Are you running with a full tank or full battery, or are you running on empty? Are we charged up with God's presence, or are we fading like the old glow in the dark stars? How do we charge up? By allowing God to tabernacle with us. God is standing at the door knocking, and He's patiently waiting for you to open the door so that He can come in and tabernacle with us. The next point is the tabernacle. God's glory dwelling among His people. Exodus 40 verse 34 to 38 reads like this. Then the cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Moses could not enter the tent of meeting because the cloud had settled on it, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. In all the travels of the Israelites, whenever the cloud lifted from above the tabernacle, they would set out. But if the cloud did not lift, they did not set out until the day it lifted. So the cloud of the Lord was over the tabernacle by day, and fire was in the cloud by night, in the sight of all the Israelites during all their travels. Think of it like you are on a tour, and God is your tour guide. Right? In a tour, sometimes the tour guide uses a little flag, you know, or an umbrella or something, right? And then you follow. So on this tour of Exodus, this is how the Lord led His people. So He would be on top of the tent. At the moment the clouds lifted, you know, the moment you see the flag, everybody pack up and ready to go. And then when the cloud moves, everybody follows the cloud. And when the cloud stops, that is where you sightsee. That is where you stop. And then you set up your tent, or the Israelites will set up their tent, and then they will dwell there. That is how the Lord led them. The cloud of glory fills the tabernacle. It shows that God is with his people. God longs to be with his people. That is something that you must remember. God longs to be with you. The song Yahweh we sang is an Old Testament image of how we long to be in the presence of God. In the New Testament, God longs to tabernacle with us. God indwells us. The Holy Spirit indwells us. We become the temple of the Holy Spirit. The tabernacle is just a shadow of the greater glory that is to come in Jesus Christ. The tabernacle shows that God longs to dwell among his people, not in a tent, but in each one of our hearts through the Holy Spirit. That is how much God is longing. Ask yourself this question. How are you letting God's presence dwell in us like the tabernacle? Next slide. How are you letting God's presence dwell in you like the tabernacle? We must open the door of our hearts. God will not bash in. God will not kick the door and spoil the lock. We must open our heart's door. First Corinthians 6:19 reminds us, our bodies are now the temple of the Holy Spirit. And we are therefore needed to make room for God's presence, because we are his living tabernacle. Recently, there was a visit by someone very prominent to Singapore. You know who is it? Who? Gates. Bill Gates. Unannounced, he was found in a Newton Hawker Center. And then there was everybody went gaga. That's the other visitor, right? The gaga. Everybody went gaga because of Bill Gates, right? Imagine if Bill Gates were to say, or if you know Bill Gates, and Bill Gates were to say, "Hey, Leonard, I'm going to visit Singapore. Can I stay with you?" You know what I would say? Cannot lah. Because my house very messy, typical Chinese. Cannot lah, my house very messy. You know what will happen next? My computer will crash. Even my Apple will crash. We don't do that, right? Sure. Maybe I even give up my master bedroom to him. Right or not? That is Bill Gates. For those younger, maybe Lady Gaga, if she want to come to your house and stay, you know, will you turn her away? Friends, the point is this. If we treat human, albeit an influential human, with such hospitality, we have taken God for granted in our lives. This is the Almighty God we are talking about. He is knocking on your door. And he says, "I want to come in and stay in you." And yet, God is so patient. He doesn't say, "Never mind, forget it. I go and knock the next door." You know. He He continues to stand there and knock and knock and knock. Today, God is knocking at all our hearts' door. Perhaps God needs to renovate our heart. Perhaps there's some dark corner in our hearts that we have locked God out of. God is patient. He is waiting. God's patience in Exodus points us to Jesus. That is the next point. The fulfillment of God's glory and patience. The ultimate fulfillment of His mercy is in Christ. In Christ, we see the fullest revelation of God's glory and patience. If I were to ask you to describe God's glory, what would you say, or what would you paint, or what is in your mind? Imagine God's glory. I think we all know that whatever is in our painting, in our mind, or what we think, it is not glorious enough. It is not glorious enough. Therefore, God had to send His Son. In Christ, we see the fullest revelation of God's glory. The cross is the greatest example of God's long-suffering love and patience. Hebrews chapter 1 reads like this. In the past, Hebrews is written to the Hebrews. And he tells the Hebrews, in the past, God spoke to your ancestor or our ancestors. God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. Because in the Old Testament, there were many prophets that God sent to give messages to the people of Israel and in different ways. But today, God has spoken to us by His Son. Who is His Son? Jesus Christ, whom He appointed heir of all things, and through whom also He made the universe. The Son was there when He made everything. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of His being, sustaining all things by His powerful word. And He had provided purification for our sins. After He had provided purifications for our sins, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty in heaven. God had to send His Son because His Son is the perfect representation of who God the Almighty is. How patient was the Son? He was born in a manger, not in an aircon hospital even. How patient was the Son when He grew up in the house of Joseph and Mary? Or would I say, imperfect Joseph and imperfect Mary? And had nasty brothers. And when he went into ministry, he fasted for 40 days. After 40 days, he was brought up to the top of the temple. And remember the temptation? The three temptations. He was patient even with the devil. And then he started his ministry. He healed the sick, performed miracles. And then the disciples kept asking, who are you? Who are you? Who are you? Slow learners, right? Just like me, just like you. And then he allowed sinners to put him on the cross. How patient was he? His disciples backstabbed him, threw him under the bus, so to speak, or put him on the cross. All ran away. Even his best, Peter, denied him three times. I do not know this man. And as he hung on the cross, people mocked him. You say you save people, save others. You cannot even save yourself. How can you save others? How patient was he? That is the perfect representation of God's patience with us. The prodigal son asked for his inheritance, effectively saying, Father, quickly die. Father, why don't you go and die? You go and die so that I can get your inheritance. And then he took his inheritance and then went and splurged and sinned. Right? And then in the end, no food. There was a famine. He had to compete with the pigs for food. Jews cannot go near pig, cannot eat pig. But here the son compete with the pig for food. Wow! He was all dirty. And then suddenly he realized, hey, my servants, you know, in my father's house, the servants in my father's house, although they are servants, they have food. I want to go back and be a servant to my father. And when he was quite a distance away, the father saw him, ran out to him, hugged him, put a ring on his finger, gave him new clothes. Haven't bathed, huh? All dirty. And threw a feast. Wow. That's the patience of God, our Father. Unless we think that we are not like that younger prodigal son. The older prodigal son. Father, I work for you day and night. You did not even kill a calf for me. You didn't even throw anything for me. Yet this son of yours came back, you threw a party. Friends, be reminded not to fix other people, but to fix ourselves. Only God can fix the heart of others, but I can open the door of my heart for God to fix me. The Father's patience reflects God's long-suffering love. Question for you. If God was patient with Israel and the prodigal son, won't he also be patient with you? Follow-up question. Are we reflecting God's patience in our relationship with our significant people around us? We ought to be living in the shadow of God's glory. If you have time, go back and do a research on the shadow of God's glory. I don't have time to unpack that, but we ought to live in the shadow of God's glory. How do we do that? Firstly, trust in God's patience, because God is slow to anger and full of mercy. Whenever you come back to Him, He loves you and He will welcome you home. Secondly, reflect His glory. Like Moses, let your life shine with His presence. Thirdly, make room for God's presence, because we are His living tabernacle. And lastly, look to Jesus, the fulfillment of all shadows in Exodus. Since today is the last sermon of the whole series of 4 months, I will give us a summary. Next slide. The book of Exodus reveals or records how Abraham's family grew into a nation and be prepared to enter the promised land of Canaan, and how they will become a blessing to the nations. Hence, Exodus can be divided into two main sections. Chapter 1 to 18 on the redemption of the Hebrews out of darkness, going from Egypt to Sinai, and chapters 19 to 40 on God's revelation of the shadow of His glory at Sinai, so that they would become a nation that worships God and be a blessing to the nations. Friends, that is also our story. How God redeems us, and how we live in the shadow of God's glory, and how we can be a nation, a blessing to the nations. And that is what we ought to be. In the light of the theme of the year, servant leadership, the purpose of this series is to understand the identity of a Christian as a sojourner in this world, like the Hebrews, as well as being a servant. We will continue to unpack this and dig deeper at the church retreat, because the retreat, we are going to study the life of Abraham, the journey of faith. So yes, the series is finished, but at the same time, this message must ring in our hearts all the time, that we are called to be a blessing to the nations. Let us pray together. Lord, we thank You for Your patience and Your mercy on our lives. Help us to dwell in Your presence, and help us to reflect Your glory. May we live each day aware that Your Spirit lives within us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.